actually, what we directly undertook was that there would not be an invasion of Cuba. In addition, we told them separately, not as a promise to them, but as a statement of our intentions, that we were going to take our missiles out of Turkey.
What sort of role, sir, was decided that the Soviet brigade, the one that everybody keeps talking now about it, will have in Cuba? As you know, there is a difference between what Cuba says and what the USSR says. Cuba says it's a combat brigade, and Soviet say it's a training brigade. What sort of role was decided at that time?
There was no decision at the time. What we hoped then was that there would be a progressive reduction of Soviet troops, but we didn't reach any agreement with the Soviet Union as to what troops would be left or what their mission would be. My own belief today is that the Soviet Union is more nearly right, that it is much more a training brigade than a combat brigade.
The last question, sir, is why are we told that several letters, that even some of them were written by you, why several letters of the Kennedy-Khrushchev understanding are still keep secret?
I myself am not aware that there are letters that are still kept secret.
So, you think that everything...
There may well be messages and conversations on which we do not now have a record, but letters from JFK, I think they are all on the record, and there are no letters from me.
What I'm asking is whether everything that was agreed was followed to the exact letter by the Soviets. Do you think that they did that, or they overstepped?
Well, I don't want to be as precise as that. I think that in the large sense, the basic understanding has been kept on both sides. The missiles came out. That was what was primary from our point of view. And we have not invaded Cuba, and that is what was primary from the Soviet point of view. And the American missiles did come out of Turkey, and that is a point on which we did give them a separate assurance.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for
not
your...
A bit.
First of all, Doctor, in your book, you say that the understanding, Kennedy-Khrushchev understanding, is rather ambiguous in terms of the weapon systems and the number of troops that were possible to stay in Cuba. How can we explain this ambiguity?
Well, as I recall it, the understanding between Kennedy and Khrushchev was that troops would be withdrawn who were associated with the missile deployment. And there were troops that were in Cuba for other purposes who were not covered by that. I don't recall that there was ever a precise agreement between the U.S. and the Soviet Union about how many troops would be withdrawn.
So, you would think that the Soviet brigade that was the issue discussed by the Carter administration, was it part of the agreement, that Soviet brigade, that you know?
No, it was... in testimony that Secretary of Defense McNamara gave, I think about 1963 or 64, to a Senate Armed Services Committee, he said that there were troops not related to the missile deployment who remained in Cuba. And if I remember, he mentioned the precise location, which was the same location as the brigade, which was the subject of the problem in 1978-79.
Doctor, had you had a chance to see, review the secret documents of the understanding?
Yes, those that were available in 1978-79.
So, one final question, Doctor. If the Soviet brigade is leaving Cuba, if, as everybody says, the Cold War is over, why the secrecy? Why do you think, what in your mind is that you think that all these documents are still kept secret? What is the reason on that? What is it in those?
I don't know what documents are still secret. The exchanges between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, the letters that were exchanged, have, I think, all been made public. I don't know of, there may be secret documents, but I don't know of any.
So if you were to describe, Doctor, one final question, if you were to describe the secret, the Kennedy-Khrushchev understanding, what is the main substance on it? What did we promise and what did they promise?
Well, I'd have to go back and look at the letters, but because they're, it was one of those diplomatic deals in which was left, I think, very ambiguous. The U.S. felt that the Soviets, believed the Soviets would take the missiles out, and they would, the U.S. would pledge not to invade Cuba. I think the Soviets felt that we would also pledge to take missiles out of Turkey, but those missiles were already on their way out, as I understand it.
General Curtis LeMay, in his book, said that also missiles from Italy and England were withdrawn according to that agreement. Do you know anything about this?
I don't think that's correct. It was only the Turkish missiles that were the subject of... But as I say, he may know more than I do.
Doctor, thank you very much for your time, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm recording. First of all, Ms. Walters, how many documents and what kind of documents that we know of are still kept a secret of the missile crisis?
Well, what we know is what the State Department tells us, and so it's not really first-hand knowledge in that respect, but the archive assisted Professor Philip Brenner, who is a Cuba scholar, in filing a series of 26 Freedom of Information Act requests with the State Department for the documents held by the government related to the Cuban Missile Crisis. To date, the Department of State has released approximately 1,770 documents, but they are still withholding approximately 700, either fully or partially, and contend that they are still classified as national, under the National Security Exemption to the Freedom of Information Act.
Ms. Walters, of those, we know that there are still several letters by President Kennedy, by Chairman Khrushchev, but also a lot of cables and memorandum. Is this correct?
That's right. That's right. There's a wide variety of materials. There's internal correspondence within the White House and the National Security Council. There's recommendations from various members of the what was called the XCOM, or Executive Committee, which was a group of advisors to President Kennedy. There are, as you say, also a series of letters that were, diplomatic letters that were sent between President Kennedy and Premier Khrushchev, and only a few of those that we know to exist have actually been released to the public. The vast majority of them are still being held as classified.
Ms. Walter, there had been Democrats and Republicans in the presidency. 29 years have passed. Why the secrecy?
Well, that's a good question. Our contention, and we have a lawsuit currently pending here in the District of Columbia, is that documents that are nearly 30 years old, especially when there have been great changes in the historical context, have really take away the need for keeping these documents secret as under a national security analysis. The usual reasons for keeping things secret, and this is set out in an executive order that is issued by the President periodically, are that things should be kept classified if there's a reasonable belief that the release of the information will cause damage to our current national security. And it's very hard to believe that these documents, which are from an event that's been widely discussed, widely written about, and happened 3 decades ago, why those should still remain secret is, in fact, a mystery to us. It's something that we're arguing very strenuously to the court.
So what is the process in which you are involved now? So our listeners and readers would understand, what are you doing basically?
Well, what we're doing is we've brought a lawsuit, as the Freedom of Information Act allows us to. When an agency refuses to release information under a series of exemptions that it can invoke, including the national security exemption, a private citizen's recourse is to go to a judge and tell the judge that you think that the government is wrong in withholding this material. And then the judge has his or her own opportunity to look at these documents and to request the government to justify to the court why these things should still be kept secret. And our experience is that often when an agency or the government is forced to state under oath in court why it still believes things are a secret, in fact, it often chooses to release a lot of information, and that's what we're hoping will happen here.
Had in the past any other people try and fail?
To get the Cuban Missile Crisis material?
Yes.
Many scholars and journalists and citizens have tried to get the materials out of the Kennedy Library, which is where many of these documents, or copies of these documents, are also held. However, the presidential libraries tend to release documents on a very long-term process, and often don't, in fact, have the resources to review materials for declassification, and often, too, have to request of the agency that originated the document the permission to release something. So, in fact, you end up having to go back to the agency in the long run anyway. So, yes, over the years, there have been repeated attempts, for example, to get the Kennedy Khrushchev letters, and the government has just resisted and with a broad claim of national security, but with no further explanation of why they think that is true.
Is it a timetable? Do we have a timetable for your suit?
Well, it's ongoing right now, and we're hoping that these letters will be released, as well as the rest of the information, will be released shortly. We've just recently requested the judge to expedite the case because we believe that with the 29th and then soon the 30th anniversary coming up, that these will be of great interest to the general population as well as to scholars and journalists.
No date.
So, unfortunately, the court's in control of the schedule, so we're hoping as soon as possible, but we have no date set yet.
If you get those documents, what would you do with them?
Well, the National Security Archive itself is a nonprofit research institute and library, and we have already published the documents that we've obtained to date from the government in a document collection, which has about 5,000 pages of documents in it. And we will also publish the rest of these as well. The document collection can be found in libraries or obtained through our publisher, Chadwick Healy, and it contains a great deal of background information on the documents to put them in context. So what we are doing is releasing the documents into the public domain so that everyone can have the benefit of seeing what they have to say.
If you don't, what are you going to do?
If we don't...
You don't get the documents on this lawsuit.
Well, we're hoping we do get them. And we will, we expect that we will obtain some, if not all, of the documents we've requested. And so we will continue to pursue it.